Now, I would like you to turn in your Bibles today away from the book of Psalms. We're going to take a little bit of a break, this being a long weekend and a little different, and also the last Sunday. I think it's, is this the last Sunday where the kids are with us, or are they with us next week? This is the last Sunday. Thank you, Katie. Next week, we begin the whole new system where parents check in their children before the service, bring their children into the service for the worship, for the musical worship part of our service, and then we will dismiss the kids to their own Sunday school. That all begins next week. Now, let me just pray a brief prayer again, asking the Holy Spirit for his special anointing upon this message. Lord, I am so aware of my need for you. I pray that you would anoint me with the Holy Spirit as I teach this, that I would teach it in a way that is pleasing to you and that doesn't get in the way of what you want to say to us. Lord, as a people, we lift up our hearts to you now and pray that you would open our spiritual ears, that we may hear wonderful things from your word. And above all, we pray that you would give us a new, fresh, life-changing vision of Jesus. For that is what we desire the most. In your name we pray. Amen. Follow along as I begin reading in Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. This is Luke 19, verse 4. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. If I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." The word of the Lord. I have included some paintings of Zacchaeus, some of my favorites, and I'm a long ways away from my UBS thing, so I'm hoping that this, there we go. This is an icon of three saints. Now, children, can you guess which one of these three is Zacchaeus? Which one? Yes, the one in the middle. Now, why would you guess the one in the middle? Yes, because he is short. And really, having a difficult time smiling for the picture, don't you think? Quite preoccupied with the saint on his left. Let's take a look at this one. In the olden days, when they painted icons with Jesus and other people, over the years, the pictures of the other people progressively looked more and more like Jesus. So what the artist would do is he would paint a picture of Jesus, and then every other face would look exactly like Jesus, including the baby and the guy hanging out of the window in the house, which basically says that as we ever increasingly look at Jesus and gaze at him, our lives will begin to reflect him. This is another very old icon of Jesus reaching up to Zacchaeus in the tree. I like this one. Zacchaeus looks a little slimy in this picture. He's also wearing a business suit. Well, of course he is. This is a work day for him, right? This is not casual Friday for Zacchaeus. As you know, he's a tax collector, as we've just read. And it seems that all the leaves on this tree have wilted because Zacchaeus is sitting in it. Now, this is a very interesting one. Can you see what Zacchaeus is wearing? He's wearing a shirt with a Star of David on it. And as Jesus reaches out to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus with his hand is clutching the Star of David, and he is saying, "Really? I am a son of Abraham?" Interesting. The other thing that's interesting about this is that two people in this story have got round heads, and everybody else has knuckleheads. Did you notice that? The crowd have different shaped heads. They don't understand what's going on between Jesus and Zacchaeus. They are still way on the outside of grace. They're being invited in, but they don't get it. This one is very powerful to me. Zacchaeus is painted grotesque. This is how he feels. This is how the people in Jericho view him. But the thing about this painting that is really unique and that asks a lot of questions is that he is doing something with his hand. What is he doing with his hand? Has he just heard Jesus call out his name and he's going, "Oh, I can't believe that you know me"? Is he taking his hand and reaching out to the one who is reaching out to him? Is he covering his face in shame? We don't know. We don't know what part of the story this is. And then there's this one, which is my favorite. I like this one because I like the kindness in Jesus' face. And I also like the fact that Jesus is supernaturally able to present himself at the level where we are. So we may be way up somewhere in a tree, Jesus is face to face to us. We may feel that we are way down in a gutter somewhere and don't deserve his grace, Jesus is right down there in the gutter with us. Now, Zacchaeus was dealt a difficult hand in life. Dr. Luke tells us that he was short, perhaps even a dwarf. Now, you may think to yourself, well, that's really not that big of a deal, but then you're probably not short. In fact, the mean average in this church is a lot taller than most churches, don't you think? With all of our Dutch folks that are here. But Zacchaeus was also short in some areas of his life that were much more important than his stature. It seems that Zacchaeus made some very bad life choices, and he was suffering the consequences. Do you think that what he lacked in stature, he made up for in salesmanship and was able to land himself a really lucrative job working for the Romans as a tax collector? Well, the scripture tells us that Zacchaeus was a very wealthy man and a much hated one. Hated because A, he was working for the enemy, for the Romans, and B, because tax collectors in those days lined their own pockets with money that didn't belong to them. And so Zacchaeus was a very lonely, alienated man. He had the reputation in town of being the town crook, and it was well deserved. But the irony in our story is that Zacchaeus, the name Zacchaeus, means pure and righteous one. Can you imagine how much that bugged the people of Jericho? Oh, here comes pure and righteous one. Well, everybody knew that Zacchaeus was neither pure nor righteous. The whole town knew it. You see, Zacchaeus' sin alienated people from him. His bad decisions pushed other people away. He was a very lonely man. He probably lived alone and ate his meals alone and faced the future alone. But as we read in our story today, one day everything was going to change for Zacchaeus. As we read, a crowd gathered in the city square. The whole town wanted to see Jesus of Nazareth as he was passing on his way through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. And Zacchaeus was no different. He wanted to see Jesus too. In fact, the wording of the text is interesting. It says that Zacchaeus wanted to know who Jesus was. He was some kind of a seeker, but being short in stature, couldn't see above the crowd, so he ran on ahead of the crowd, climbed into a sycamore tree, and there he waited for Jesus to come. So there he sat, perched on a branch, like a crow, like a scavenger, waiting. And what makes the story even more pathetic is that sycamore trees, as we read in the NIV, produced figs. They produced a very cheap, inexpensive fig that the Gentiles used in feeding their pigs. So this was a hated Jewish man who didn't want to be anywhere near pigs, sitting in a tree where Gentiles used to feed their pigs. But Zacchaeus had long lost any sense of dignity in his life. In fact, Zacchaeus had absolutely nothing going for himself but the fact that he was lost. And if there's one thing that we've learned from Jesus, about Jesus in the Gospels, it's that Jesus is like a bloodhound for lost people. Jesus came to find Zacchaeus. In fact, in his own words, the last word of the text, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." So that day, in the city of Jericho, Jesus, being true to form, saw Zacchaeus sitting in a tree. He made a beeline for him, and he did something that shocked everybody, including Zacchaeus. He probably just about fell out of his tree. It looks like that he is. He called Zacchaeus by his name. "Zacchaeus, come down from this tree at once." As if to say, "You don't belong up there, away from us and away from me. Come down to me. I must come to your house today." What strong words. And it says that Zacchaeus jumped out of the tree and welcomed Jesus gladly. Imagine that. With all the important people in the great city of Jericho, Jesus wants to have dinner with the man who is the least loved. The man who deserves God's grace the least is the man who gets Jesus as a dinner guest. Zacchaeus was the reason Jesus came to Jericho. Now, as we saw in one of those paintings, and as we see in the text, this day in Jericho, a number of things happened on a number of levels. First of all, the text tells us that the crowd made a brand new enemy, and it wasn't Zacchaeus. He was already their enemy. Jesus made a brand new friend, and Zacchaeus made a new start. Over dinner, the tenderness of Jesus broke the power of money over Zacchaeus' heart. Over dinner, the Messiah dethroned Mammon. And it seems that by the time the two of them were having dessert, Zacchaeus was dreaming up ways to give his money away, as we see in our text. Something had happened in Zacchaeus' heart. We call this restitution. Giving back, paying back for the gift that we have received. Now, growing up in church, I heard the story of Zacchaeus many times. I could tell it to you really well. In fact, I bet that every single kid here who's in church, if I were to say to you the word Zacchaeus, you'd go, "Oh, I know who that is," just like this young lady demonstrated. Zacchaeus is the short little guy who climbed the tree in order to see Jesus. And back then, as I remember, the moral of the story went something like this. Be like Zacchaeus. He used his obstacles and made them into opportunities. Though he was short, he did what he could to get to Jesus. And we would be wise to do likewise. But I no longer believe that that is the moral of the story at all. I believe that the moral of the story is that Jesus, not Zacchaeus, is the primary seeker in the story. And that Jesus, when none of us are seeking him, he seeks us with the purpose of taking all the fractured, broken pieces of our lives and putting them back together into one God-glorifying whole. The Hebrews call that action shalom, or peace. And I've also come to see that there's a tree in the story that's much more central to the story than the sycamore tree that Zacchaeus climbed. And that's the tree that was waiting for Jesus not too far from Jericho. It's the tree that Jesus climbed. It's the tree that Jesus was willingly nailed to so that Zacchaeus and you and me could be forgiven and restored and reconciled back to God. Jesus came into this world, and Jesus died, and Jesus rose again, giving us now the Holy Spirit so that we could be reconciled to God. But we need to also recognize that when Jesus calls us to come to him, it's going to require us jumping out of our tree, whatever tree that may be, and clinging to him and his tree and what that tree means. What a story. The story of Zacchaeus hits us at so many levels. And I'm only going to talk about one level very briefly, and then we'll come to the table. I think the most obvious is that we all see ourselves in one way or another in Zacchaeus. We all have a disability, or we have an undesirable characteristic that we're stuck with, that we'd like to shake. Now, it may be physical. Maybe when you looked in the mirror today, you realized that you were stuck with your father's nose. I'm really sorry about that. Or maybe you have your mother's physique. Or maybe you have another physical characteristic that's actually life-threatening. It's a congenital defect. But most likely, all of us, in one way or another, have something in our life that we didn't ask for that has made life particularly difficult. And like Zacchaeus' stature, we're stuck with it and we can't shake it. Perhaps it's a family secret or some crippling loss that we've encountered. Or maybe it's a shameful event that we just wish would have never happened because it shaped the whole course of our life. Or maybe it's an undesired temperament that we live with. But here's the point. And it's not explicit in the story, but it's true because we read it in many other places in the Bible. All of us have a tendency, because of the pain and discomfort caused by the disability, to overcompensate for that pain by trying too hard. You know, what Zacchaeus lacks in brawn, he'll make up for in other ways, in bucks. Or in bravado. By hook or by crook, I'll get what I want. I may not be as big as you, but I will become richer than you. And we tend to pay a very heavy toll. By overcompensating for our weaknesses, we actually tend to alienate the people around us. But here's the gospel in our story. There's one thing in the story that's powerful enough to free Zacchaeus and to free you and me from our small, selfish little life and from all the pain and the alienation that comes from our sin and our disabilities. And that's very simply the love of Jesus for us. I mean, this painting is also good because it paints Zacchaeus as a needy yet slimy little guy. He's not particularly handsome in this picture. Do you know that his countrymen viewed him as less than a sewer rat? In fact, Jews hated Jewish tax collectors so much that the Bible writers had to develop a category specially to describe tax collectors. How many times in the New Testament do we read the little phrase, tax collectors and sinners? And yet to Jesus, Zacchaeus was his new BFF. To Jesus, the home of Zacchaeus was going to be his latest B&B. To Jesus, his heart saw through all the tough stuff, the hard image, the stealing, the alienation, and he reached right into the heart of Zacchaeus and pulled it to himself in a single act of incredible love for him. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Vast, measureless, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. And did you notice that Jesus didn't wait for Zacchaeus to straighten out his life before inviting himself over for dinner? Isn't that great? He invited himself first. He didn't care how Zacchaeus was going to respond. He wanted Zacchaeus to know that love precedes transformation. And then, after the expression of love, Zacchaeus said, Jesus, I'll do anything for you, including releasing my money. There's a verse that says that the kindness of the Lord leads us to repentance. And that's certainly how it worked for Zacchaeus. So, question. Do you need to receive Jesus' love today in an area of your life where you are not feeling his love? Now, I use the word feeling deliberately because I think all of us, we're in church today, we believe the Bible and we believe what the Bible says about God. I think all of us would say, of course I believe Jesus loves me. It's the first song that I ever sang. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But I think what many of us are asking is, I know intellectually that Jesus loves me, but how can I actually encounter Jesus' love so that his love is transforming in the way I look at myself and in the way I look at God and in the way that I look and deal with others? How do I experience the love of God? And there's probably many answers, but here's a simple biblical one. We experience the love of Jesus through the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus sent the Spirit of love into the world so that the love of Jesus could be experientially received. And I know from Scripture and from experience that the love of Jesus is received through the Holy Spirit in a couple of ways. First of all, as the gospel is read and preached, somehow a miracle happens and we see ourselves in Zacchaeus and we receive the love of Jesus for us in the same way that it was passed on to Zacchaeus. Love comes through the Word and how the Spirit uses the Word. We also receive the love of Jesus through the Holy Spirit as we embrace his family, the body of Christ. Jesus' love comes through each other as we use our spiritual gifts to reach out and to bless and to love and to serve. We know that Jesus loves us because we experience it from day to day and week to week through the body of Christ. And that's why it's so important that love must always shape our lives as a church. But there's another way. We experience the love of Jesus through the Holy Spirit, through the mystery of what we call the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. And for 2,000 years, most of the church has believed that when God's people gather at the table, something happens that we can't explain, that's supernatural, but by faith, we encounter the risen Jesus here in these simple emblems of bread and wine. Now, did you see the table in our story? There's a table. It's not mentioned, but there's a table. Zacchaeus' kitchen table became the Lord's table because the Lord invited himself to come. And today, the Lord Jesus is here through the person of the Holy Spirit. He has ministered his love through the word. He has ministered his love through the body. And he will now minister his love through this table. So Jesus is saying to us today, this bread, it's my body. It's broken. Eat it and receive me and all of my love. This cup, it's my blood. It's poured out for you. Drink it and receive me and all of my love. So today, as we come to the Lord's table, let's come with hearts open. Let's come in faith, ready to encounter the love of Jesus for us. The love that went to the cross for us. Amen. Let's pray about it. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving people like us. We are like Zacchaeus. We go our own way. We have sinned. We are selfish. Things, money, materialism has a grip on our hearts too. We've made decisions to overcompensate for our weaknesses, and in making those kinds of decisions, survival decisions, we have, without knowing it, pushed people away. We want to bring all of this to you today. And we know that you are more than sufficient to not only forgive us, but to restore us and to fill us with a brand new sense of your transforming love. And so, Holy Spirit, with gratitude, we receive you in a fresh way as a gift from Jesus. Fill our hearts, fill our marriages, fill our families, fill our church. Influence the way we look at life, the way we look at things, possessions, the way we look at the vision that you have for us. And as we come to the table, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would anoint this experience, that you would anoint these emblems and make them for us the presence of the risen Jesus here among his people. Though we don't know how this works, we believe it. And with gratitude and joy, receive Christ in a fresh way at this table. And may you ever, in increasing ways, make this family at Pacific a more open, loving congregation. We know that you've already been making us this way, but we pray for more, that we would open our hearts to each other and also to those who are not yet a part of our church family. Be glorified now, Lord, at this table. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.